flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
That's right. It's my time to talk. It's In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I didn't forget that I was doing work. You forgot you were doing work. All right. What exactly is growth for CJ Stroud and what should it look like? That's what we're talking about here, is we're kind of doing, in some ways, a little bit of the postmortem on the season after the Texans fell this weekend. And CJ is clearly at the center of a lot of things. It kind of is funny that we put this off to Wednesday because, I mean,
there were some extenuating circumstances.
Like what? Name one. Is it the time that you rolled over your truck 5 times?
And hit 3 kids?
That's right. Clearly.
You just got out the hospital, man. That's right.
I know, right. Yeah. So that's why we're taking it slow with you. But no, CJ Stroud, I mean, he is the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you found yourself the thing that matters. In fact, you talk about this a lot. You have the pillars. You got yourself a head coach. You got yourself the quarterback. Is there a third one in there?
Well, there is, and I can't remember what it is.
Very good. We got the two important ones.
He's still trying to get used to being out of the hospital.
Ah, yes, that's right. That's
defense.
Right.
Got that concussion from the accident.
That's right. You did have it. I told you to walk around with your guardian cap. But you have these things, and CJ Stroud is at the center of it. And what was frustrating this year was seeing the way that there was some levels of, I don't even know if you want to go as far as regression, but there was it wasn't continued progress that you were hoping this year. And so what does growth look like for CJ Stroud, and what should it look like?
Looking at this and thinking about this, I kind of got a little bit maybe sad is the word.
Because
I think it's fair, and we all recognize, I mean, he didn't play better this year than last year. That's the obvious.
No,
he just didn't. But it's one thing to not play better. But the reason we talk about growth is, did he do more in terms of, you know, between the years? And I'm not saying he's smart or dumb. What I'm saying is, did they give him more of the team? Did they allow him to have a bigger say in things, to influence game plans more, to maybe have some decision-making power on the field? And it kind of makes me sad. I don't think they gave him any more this year on his plate, you know, mentally and strategically than they did when he was a rookie. And that's not growth. That's going the opposite way, actually. He should have been given more. He's smart. He, you know what he is as a player, and you know he's a smart player. And if he's still out there and they're telling him, oh, just do this, and we'll cover the rest. Or, no, don't change this coverage. Leave it to us in the offensive line. Don't leave the pocket in this instance. I'm presuming that, but, you know, if they're not letting him grow as a field general, to use the cliche,
yes,
you know, then it's regression.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah. That, I mean, that matters, right? Like, that's the idea. Is it's, he clearly has the base, you know, the base things that you need to be really good at quarterback. He's got the accuracy. I mean, now we see he got the mobility as well. Well, we knew that he had the mobility, but the willingness to use that mobility is there. Like, there are those things. And now the addition and the NFL level of getting better at the game is learning the game of football. I remember Patrick Mahomes himself, who, again, somehow has become persona non grata. But Patrick Mahomes had talked about it, like, I think it might have been his second or third year. I don't recall exactly. But, oh, man, I'm now reading defenses at a higher level, right? It's the mental aspect of the game. I think it might be Kurt Bendiker, I believe, is his name is correctly. And I'm sure, I'm absolutely banker. There we go. He is a dude who played in the league, and I use played a little a little lightly, but I mean, he was in the league. He was a backup of sorts. He played at Virginia in college and went undrafted in 2018, right? He kind of was in that space. But one of the things he talked about was just like, oh, I learned how to play the quarterback position in the NFL, where you start getting more of the insights of what the depths of this are. And the best of these quarterbacks not only do that, but play this at a high level to where they can play the game on the field. And some of them end up akin to, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Philip Rivers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably Philip Rivers, but Peyton Manning end up in a place where they can almost be their own offense coordinator because they have that to that level. Not saying that year two CJ absolutely needs to be in that spot. But that was one of the things that I thought in this year where he had some struggles is we see those levels of quarterbacks, you know, having to find their way through that moment of, okay, I'm playing the game not just with my arm, but with my brain, and learning those levels of how to, you know, work through that and getting the knocks of those moments. And so it would be really disappointing if you did not give him the opportunity to work through some of those. And this was just him fighting through bad offensive line and having to be, you know, kind of constrained by system instead of, oh, he's finding and flowering into that quarterback that has the opportunity to not just beat you with his arm, beat you with his mind, because that's the thing about Tom Brady.
Or have control. To me,
have control, really.
To me, it's either you're not letting him have control or you want to be in control. It's kind of like whether when you were a kid, teenager, or as a parent and you had teenagers and you have a great kid or you were a great kid. Like Reggie, I'm sure, was a great kid. You can tell he was raised right, right? So you're a great kid.
That's disrespectful.
All right?
Well, you don't think I was out here in these streets making or causing havoc?
He wants to have more cred.
Yeah, causing havoc with those big-ass words you got
no cred, buddy. all the things that you do right, you got no street
That's
cred.
That's crazy.
But, all right, so let's say you were Reggie's mom, all right?
Hi, Mom.
And he's a great kid, good student, learns how to drive, okay?
I did that.
And then Mom wants to drive with you everywhere you want to go for 2 years? Nah, man. At some point, you got to trust him. And that's what this is. I could be wrong, but I don't think I saw CJ ever taking control, having an impact on, you know, who knows about game plans, but, you know, but certainly in-game moments, calling coverages and blocking schemes.
Well,
and
the blocking scheme is the pass protection is really the big thing.
Like, yeah.
Having that level of...
They never let him... It's yours now, buddy. They never tossed him the keys.
And I feel like that's where it'd be really important, especially when you know... Like, it's one thing if you have a center that has played 8 years in the league and is, hey, young man, I got you, right? Yeah. You focus on doing the quarterbacking things. I will take that responsibility. Mm-hmm. You don't. You've got rookies as well or second-year guys as well. As the centers that are also calling pass protection. So at the very least, you would want both of them to be involved there, and it did not feel like you had all of that. Because, I mean, and if you did, man, there's been a lot of layers of failure on that because pass protection was simply not good enough, whether setting pass protection in a lot of those instances and then actually executing pass protection and not falling for stunts and those types of things once the protection was set. Like, those were things that clearly were issues, and that is one of the places for growth for C.J. Stroud. I think you are right, having him be able to, I would love to see that portion of it, and then also be able to, you know, at the very least, have some more opportunities to change what's happening on the field, because there's not a better perspective of what's happening with the defense than right there behind the center getting the football. Like, those are the instances where you have the best.
He's a franchise. Vision. He's a great quarterback. If you're not going to trust C.J. Stroud, no, do it this way. Do it this way. No, don't change that. If you're not going to trust C.J. Stroud, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust to run this team? You know, if I were him, and I don't know if he's frustrated or not, but if he were frustrated, I'd be like, you should be.
Okay, so but outside of that, so the question is, what should...
That's the main growth.
What should growth look like for C.J. Stroud elsewhere? This is C.J. Stroud himself talking about what he wants year three of C.J. Stroud to look like.
It's me. Yeah, I just want it to look like whatever the Lord wants it to. If it's in my control, I'm going to mess it up. I'm hands off. But, of course, like that's I got to put in action, of course, and put in the work, and I'll do that. And but for me, I just want to, you know, see growth and ball and life and every aspect. I just want to see growth and learn from my mistakes and, you know, not harp on the past and just learn from them and learn from my mistakes and everything like that. So that's what I feel like year three would be for me.
And that's obviously a CJ answer, you know, through and through. But I think if you pulled him aside, he would want to go down on his terms. you know, if you're going to lose on his terms, or at least with an influence. I'm not saying he's going to be offensive coordinator. I mean, obviously he respects Bobby Slowick and the offensive staff. But I think he wants.
No, that's the way. Just give him the job there. Too.
Well, you know, no, not that.
Just CJ Stroud, quarterback / offensive coordinator.
And I'm not as tactful as CJ Stroud. I would be up there saying, "It's my butt out there." I would love to have a little better say in protecting my own backside.
And it seems like he wants a little bit of say in a lot of things. And of course, he is a deeply humble. Young man, it's one of the. I feel weird calling somebody a young man. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it.
Welcome to the club.
That was well.
I call them kids.
I feel like I'm not in the same age as you, Lopez. I feel like I got to be careful there. I'm definitely not in that same club.
If you got bills like me, yeah, I ain't calling you kids. Young man.
Well, I don't think he got bills like me. Yeah. I feel like that paycheck stretches a lot further than mine does. That's all beside the point, right? But CJ Stroud, deeply humble dude, but. When he was talking about the idea of like offseason stuff, he was like, if asked for opinion, I will give my opinion. And that felt like the CJ Stroud way of saying, like, I would like to be able to impact some of these things. I think that you do get a little bit of an impression of that. So, yeah, no, being able to have this be. Yeah, don't Lil Brome. Yeah, I definitely don't want to do that to him at all. But being able to impact and really put the CJ Stroud imprint on this offense, on this team in full, because he is the franchise player. He's demonstrated himself capable of being that in various fashions. And so, like, fully equipping him to be that would be one level of growth. I think another one, which is a lot simpler, a lot easier, just, and he's talked about this. The book is out that he can run. Mm-hmm. Utilize all your tools. Like I was giving you hell on the design runs, at least in the playoffs. I think now you get to a place where, again, I don't want to see very many of them, but utilize those threats, like all of the threats that he has available to him. Let's paint with all the colors in the toolbox.
Now that is absolutely another place you'd like to see what growth is. He talked about it. You just heard it. And I think, you know, being able to be more willing to run would be one. Maybe, have more say, be the actual field general. I also think, like, growth for CJ.
Getting the ball out, probably. Like, being comfortable with taking those checkdowns. Because we know him to be a dude who wants to take those deep shots. And especially last year. This year, you could see some of those moments where he was wanting to hold it. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, be willing to get the ball out to your guys and let them go and do what they do. Because when he did that, you produced some really good plays, but there was times where it felt like, and maybe this ties in, felt like he wanted to play hero ball because he needed to be back there. And I think just give yourself the opportunity to play within the means of the rest of your guys as well and trust
him. Yeah, you don't want to undercut him because his accuracy and confidence is something that has made him. But I do agree with that. Like be able to understand, you know, it can be 1,000 cuts. It doesn't have to be a 75 yarder to Nico every time.
And for a lot of these defenses are now trying to actively force you to be in that place. And that's the place to be.
Yeah.
On the text line, somebody said maybe he can't call it and that's why they have the center doing it. You'd have bigger questions. I think you have bigger problems in that instance if you feel like he cannot call protections and set protections.
He absolutely can. 100%. And I think he's probably willing to. No, he, otherwise he's not the guy. He's not the guy.
Or we probably would have seen him last year, right?
Yeah.
Also, I appreciate the text line that said Reggie and I are sons of strict immigrants. The streets was not a choice. That's fair. Yeah. the streets absolutely wasn't a choice for me. But yeah,
long did your mom have to drive with you when you got your license?
Man, the statute of limitations is gone, right? Yeah. I was driving before I got my license.
Oh, I did too. Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, but a different time.
Yeah. Well, it was a different
time. Way different time.
I know when I got my license, my mother wasn't riding with me, but she told me not to ride on the freeway.
Yeah.
So at first I was taking the street. I'm like, why the hell am I taking this street? Like, why? I could drive on the freeway. So I ended up driving on the freeway.
And then you were white knuckling it the whole time.
Yeah, and I guess I learned very quickly that, hey, man, ain't no white knuckling this. As soon as I got my license, I think it might have been my permit that got that day one, she put me in rush hour traffic.
Oh, wow.
Immediately. She was like, you drive. Man, we got to that last stop, and I was like, you take it home. And
man, see, my mother was not like that, man. Work. She told me, if you get your temps, I'll let you start driving. Got my temp. She would not let me drive.
The best thing about being the youngest in my family is my parents didn't even care about that stuff by the time they got to me. I used to drive to driver's ed.
They were doing the Ivan Drago, if he dies, he dies.
Yeah, they just like, go ahead, take David's car. So I would take my brother's car. two drivers in.
Man, my mother was not down for that, man. She told me if I get my license, then I could drive her car. I get my license. She said, oh, you got to get your own car because the insurance. So I had to get my own car before I started driving on my own.
Yeah, no, what happened is I started becoming the chauffeur. I was the gopher. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, run the HEB right quick and go get that. All right, cool. Like, now that you can drive. Yeah, they were the active attempt was to make me sick of driving instead of that. Like, oh, you want to drive so bad?
Oh,
okay.
You can drive. We'll let you drive.
Go ahead and drive. Yeah, so let CJ drive fully. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is about the time where we hand it off to the man Figgy Fig for the mixtape, and thankfully, Figgy Fig is here.
Yeah, baby. It was some drama on the timeline between Sexy Red and Martin Luther King's daughter. I'll let you know what happened with that. And plus, imagine walking to a gym and you see Hakeem the Dream and The Undertaker playing basketball.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The mixtape in full effect. Next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. Hopefully everyone is safe. Out in the city of Houston, it's pretty cold out there. Got some black ice out there. And I got to say real quick, talk about the weather. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I kind of enjoy seeing people post their pictures in the snow and all
that.
It
was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
It was cool because me personally, I didn't care about that at all, man. I went outside just to take the dogs out, and that was it. I had my fair share of
I just like seeing the kids.
Yeah, especially in Houston where you really don't get that type of snow barely.
Yeah.
So it was good.
It's just fun seeing the kids out there. Not the ones I almost ran over, but the other kids.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. No, it's great for a little bit. And then for me, we were talking about it yesterday, you know, great snow day activities. It's just like, hey, man, go ahead and cuddle up under that blanket.
Yeah.
Put you on something to watch. Get you something like some chili or some soup or something.
Yeah.
Just cool out.
Yeah, so salute to everybody out there having fun. I seen Clint Sterner had a good time
Clint Sterner
yesterday.
Looked like a big old kid. Yeah, man. He was flying down that hill.
Yeah, man. It looked like him and his kids having a good time.
The kids and Clint.
Yeah. But I don't know if you guys are. I know Reggie's familiar with, speaking of Clint Sterner, this is not Clint Sterner, but Sexy Red.
That's right.
One time I tweeted about Sexy Red.
And I like that you had to make the distinction.
One time I tweeted about the rapper Sexy Red.
Yeah.
And Clint said, hey, man, what you talking about me for?
Oh, gosh.
So let me be clear.
That's what they used to call me back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
So it's a rapper by the name of Sexy Red. And she tweeted a Photoshop picture of her and Martin Luther King on MLK Day. And it's a picture where they holding hands and she like glazing into each other's eyes.
Yeah.
And this picture been kind of going around for a few years now.
It is not a straight photograph. It is clearly like a Photoshop situation or whatever, because they did not live at the same time.
Exactly. So apparently Martin Luther King's daughter, Bernice King, didn't really appreciate her tweeting this picture out. So she retweeted the picture with this response. She said, this is intentionally distasteful, dishonoring, deplorable, and disrespectful to my family and my father.
She got all four D's.
The alliteration.
I know.
She got all four D's.
I know, man. I feel like Reggie wrote this out right here.
It's currently getting a thumbs up from you.
And she said, who is not here to respond to himself because he was assassinated for working for your civil and human rights to end war and poverty. Please delete. So Sexy Red actually responded to this, and I'm glad she responded with this because I thought it was going to get a little ugly, which it did from other people.
Correct.
But she responded and said, you ain't wrong. Never meant to disrespect your family. My apologies. Mm-hmm. Just reposted something I saw that I thought was innocent. So I'm glad they kind of straightened out. I think Bernice King responded to that, pretty mm-hmm. much said it's all love and all that. But
you love when like an internet interaction actually ends.
It worked.
Yeah. Sometimes it get ugly, man.
A lot of times. And way too often for my liking. It just feels like everybody comes to these things with a level of hostility that means that there's never going to be a good ending. It's always going to end in a nasty way.
I think right now as we speak, I think Ryan Clark and Marcellus Wiley is going back and forth right now as we speak.
Let me see what the message, because this is the problem.
But people immediately start bristling and putting their bow up and all that.
Yeah.
And as much as I could say it's sad that it happens, I will be the person who will go look the mess though. Yeah. I will watch the car crash.
Yeah. But the reason I brought this up, because I felt like that wasn't the worst disrespect I seen on the timeline when it comes to Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
So, hear me out on this. So this is what came across my timeline. Who would be the better tipper in the club, Martin Luther King or Malcolm X?
My goodness.
And this was a real conversation. I actually have audio of this.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
So we got some ladies. We
got to outlaw podcast microphones, man. This is problematic.
So it was a lady on the scene. I don't know if she was at a club or what, but here's some ladies giving their opinion on who will be a better tipper, Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. This is better tipper at a club, not just a restaurant, but at a club.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think would have tipped better, Malcolm X or Martin Luther King?
Malcolm. He was a street like.
But Martin loved them hoes. You ain't know that.
I ain't gonna lie, Malcolm probably would have been spending them racks. Malcolm, he probably been, hey, baby girl.
I don't know. I feel like Martin Luther King, they were locked in. Him and his wife.
They don't know. Martin loved them women. I'll just say that. Martin loved them women. I say Martin Luther King because a lot of people don't know Martin loved them hoes. Okay, he really did.
MLK, I'll sing Martin. Why? Because Martin was about peace. He was about equality. MLK, if I really was to, you know, press him about my money, he gonna be like, okay, how much do you think I need? He seemed like he'll better be a better simp.
What is happening right there?
Martin would be a better simp.
That is insane.
Please tell me this conversation didn't go on very long.
That was a cut up. That was super cut.
Yeah, so I cut it up a little
bit.
They
actually made this a topic.
Yeah, it's a video floating around there.
I will say
Bernice probably should have said something about this over the Sexy Red picture.
I mean, I feel like Bernice is looking at this like, what am I supposed to say? I will say as the littlest a bit of credit that I can maybe give out here is at least it seemed like they had some knowledge of these gentlemen's histories. Mm-hmm. Now the problem is like Malcolm Little, who then became Malcolm X, right? You could say that about his street days when he was Boston Red or whatever. Mm-hmm. Detroit Red, rather. He's in Boston and New York. But as a reformed Muslim, you wouldn't catch him, caught him anywhere near that. So they must have been talking about him in his street days.
Probably so.
And him as a leader of men, mm-hmm. right? Nah, you're not getting anywhere near
that. They probably seen the Malcolm X movie with Denzel and probably like, oh, yeah, he'd probably be spending
any chance
racks.
That they read the book or read more pages than LeBron James?
They ain't read that book, man. All right,
so, I mean, they asked.
Don't say you're about to give an answer. I swear to God, Lopez.
Yeah.
I swear to God if you say something stupid.
I'm going to send this to Bernice King.
More than Bernice King will be on you. We'll get all sorts of people on you.
I mean, they did ask.
So who you got?
No.
I will move on. So it was some NBA games on MLK Day, which is it's a tradition in the NBA. Play on Martin Luther King Day. And Norman Powell, who played for the Clippers, this is what he had to say before the game. Sometimes I think most of the teams, they bring somebody out there to speak to the speak to the crowd and say, you know, we're celebrating the life of Martin Luther King and all that stuff. So here is Norman Powell, who said he wanted to thank the crowd for celebrating the life of Martin Luther. Who?
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for coming out and celebrating the life of Martin Luther King. He was a great man.
If you guys didn't hear that, he said Martin Luther Cream.
That's like the Philly mayor trying to spell out Eagles.
Yeah. What was the reference to that? Because did that show up in like, that was like in a song or something? Or was it not? Or am I bugging? Is that just a...
I'm not sure, but I know Martin Luther Cream was trending. So you look at that on your own time. Don't look at it on the work computer.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he was a big tipper.
And yes, 713, it is true that Martin Luther King was a serious philanderer. He was not a perfect human being. I don't think that anybody would claim that.
Yeah.
And but it's still that line of questioning that they ran with, I feel like it was a little tough. That is a terrible faux pas by Norman Powell, because you can't clean that one up.
Yeah. You can't fix that. I mean, everybody was like, I know he did not just say Martin Luther Cream.
Well, he did.
That is.
Yeah. So hopefully Bernice don't come after him.
Bernice, this is the problem. Bernice has got way too many things to try and cut. You remember that one year that Florida State put out the graphic? Because this is another thing. Everybody puts out a graphic on MLK. Mm-hmm. They were trying to be, I don't know, headier, witty or something, where they put out the Martin Luther King as he's like reaching out towards a crowd. And they, instead of like his normal hand, they photoshopped on like a Florida State wide receiver glove on there. And it's like, yeah, man, there's the MLK Day holiday is just ripe for opportunities for you to do something that is stupid.
That is dumb.
And insensitive.
It's nothing you could do. Man, I done seen club flyers with Martin Luther King with gold grills
just
on.
Shameless.
Gold grill on?
Yes. With a gold grill on. Oh, 100%, man.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
I think Bernice did the national championship game. Didn't they kind of have her up?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
In Washington.
Yeah.
Or wasn't it in Washington.
Atlanta.
It was Atlanta?
Yeah, the national championship.
Oh, yeah. No, she was. Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, man, just everybody just stay out of the trouble. So speaking of Dream, I ain't going to say that quote because I get in trouble.
Yeah.
But Hakeem the Dream.
That's right.
So the
62 yesterday.
Yeah. Happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday. Yeah. So it was an interview with The Undertaker, the WWE Hall of Famer.
Houston native.
Yeah. Houston native. The Undertaker. Did you know they played basketball together at one point?
Together, like on a team, or
they had some pickup basketball.
Okay,
it was on the same team at one point.
I know the Undertaker played basketball at Waltrip.
Oh, okay, so that's probably where this comes from.
Yeah, no, he was a basketball player in high school.
I mean, he's big as hell. I would hope so.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
If you get over like,
I think it was Waltrip.
If you get over like 6'4", I'm like, you need to hoop in some way, shape. Yeah. I'm not saying you got to go pro, but I need to see you with the basketball in your hand at some point. Obviously,
so he was a player in high school.
He was, and one thing, if you're not familiar. These pros, man, they go and they get into all sorts of different runs where, you know, different people will filter in, usually of, you know, college, high school level. Like, that's why you see guys make it to college or you make it to the pros. And there's a level of familiarity because these guys are hoopers. It's one of the things I say is hoopers are going to hoop. Like, it's not the same as football players in the offseason. Like, why were you doing this thing? Basketball players in the offseason, they're going to get into runs and play basketball. It's just how these things go. And apparently, you had one of those moments here.
Yeah, so Hakeem was hooping. I don't know if it's like a gym or just
I'm sure it was a gym.
It's something like that. But the Undertaker came in, and this is his story on playing basketball with Hakeem Olajuwon.
I'm in high school still, and so I'm playing with all these guys. There's Clyde Drexler's there, Larry Michal. I'm on Hakeem's team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm bringing the ball up the left side. He's running on the other side. He's wanting me to throw him an alley-oop. I just crossed midcourt, and he's already on the end, and he's pointing for an alley-oop. And I'm like, oh, crap. But I let it loose, man, and I threw it. The ball, I was like, oh, dang. Right, you know, and I threw it. The ball was way above the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, crap, I just threw that away, you know. And no, he caught the ball. On the run, above the box, dunked on this dude, man, and he kind of gave me a little nice pass, man.
That had to have been at Fondy, right? Did he say where it was? That had to be back in the glory days of Fondy, right?
I believe
Center.
So. Had probably, to be. Probably so. Yeah. Undertaker 6. Oh, he was billed as 6'10". I don't think that he's actually all the way 6'10", but he's got to be at least 6'6".
I think in the clip he might have said he was like 6'4".
But he was younger.
This was, and he was high a center, school. Right? He was a center, so that's why he was throwing up that alley-oop.
And they said that they had him play point guard. And I guess in this game.
Well, he threw a good alley.
Yeah.
Well, he threw an alley that Hakeem made a good.
Hence, good alley.
Hey, Hakeem said, nice pass, man. So I thought that was cool, man. I would love to see Undertaker and Hakeem play on the same court.
How great is it to have a story with Hakeem where you can, it can be kind of positive as opposed to like Hakeem took my lunch and Hakeem dunked on my head top or whatever. Like that must be awesome.
Yeah.
He had
6'8 is what we're getting on the text
line. Had to been a dang good player, too.
In high school?
To get in that group?
Yeah, because
they don't let anybody just join in.
It's not just, oh, okay, well, you play. Yeah. No, you have to be good. Yeah, he had to be good, man. Yeah. Shout out to The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Salute to him, man. And happy belated birthday to the dream.
Always. That's right.
By the way, Figgy, remember what I said about Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
It's happening?
Oh, man. Hey, who we got, man?
Well, we'll tell you what Albert says.
Oh, okay. So that's what we call a tease. You're in the loop right here on Sports
Radio
610.
Change the number, man. Don't answer the number, man.
Yeah. How do you know it's him?
That does sound like an NBA GM cheat code.
Unless it's Bobby Slowick. If it's Bobby Slowick, man, let's get the limo going.
Right.
Send them over there to New York.
Mm-hmm. Right. Olajuwon and Undertaker does sound like something where you put in a code and it switches the Houston situation where now you get the Undertaker in there as like a secret character on NBA Jam. It absolutely feels like that. But yeah, that was Figgy's mixtape. You get it at 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next... yes, for the third time, Godspeed Aaron Glenn. Apparently, Aaron Glenn is also getting a little too close to Houston in a various way. I'll let Lopez tell you about that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Y'all been great listeners today. How about we give something away? Let's go ahead and give away 4 tickets to the Houston Automotive Show that's happening January 29th to February 2nd at NRG Center. Caller number 10. Call number 4?
Yeah, let's do caller number 4.
Oh, okay, well, man. Caller number 4 then. 713-572-4610. Go quick. Go fast. You'll win those 4 tickets. All right. Here in a little bit, we'll hand it off to the fellas of The Drive. They're actually broadcasting live from the Bear Bryant Awards that'll be happening tonight. I believe that... All right, so this is something that I'm a little confused about because the Bear Bryant Awards website says that'll be broadcast on CBS Sports Network, but it also says that will be broadcast at like 11:30 tonight on CBS Sports Network. Mm-hmm. But then also it says that there will be a live stream. I think Sean was saying there'll be a live stream at 8:30. I don't know exactly how that works. Mm-hmm. But there are various ways to possibly see what's happening there. And salutes to the 8 college football coaches that are up for that particular award this year, including...
Mike Elko?
Is Mike Elko?
No.
I'm about to say, I was like, I don't think I saw that name. I was like, did I miss something? I sincerely thought that, like, wow.
Gotcha.
I missed something. See, look at you, Texas Aggie, always taking an award that you didn't actually win.
Y'all gonna
hang that one at Kyle Field,
sure,
too?
Sure, we'll do that,
unbelievable.
Too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, that one is happening, and I think Sean said that he'll be out there as well. But no, I know Marcus Freeman is one of the guys. Shane Beamer is a candidate. Kurt Cignetti, of course, with the fantastic season at Indiana. Kenny Dillingham, who's been incredible at Arizona State. I mentioned Marcus Freeman. Rhett Lashley is SMU, which is a name that still feels very much like a wrestler name more than anything. Jeff Monken at Army. They were incredible this year. And then Steve Sarkisian, of course, a man who has brought Texas back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those...
They really mean it.
That's right, for sure. So that'll be an interesting award situation. And, of course, those fellas are out there broadcasting live from there. So we'll get an accounting of what the sights and sounds are out that way. But you mentioned Aaron Glenn. The big news on the day is that he is officially going to be the head coach of the New York Jets. That vacancy will be filled. And there's more vacancies to fill when it comes to who his staff will be. Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback, has kind of begun doing some reporting in this way. And he says that he expects that the offensive coordinator mix for Aaron Glenn's staff, Rams pass game coordinator Nick Caley, Vikings quarterback coach Josh McCown, and Texans quarterback coach Jerrod Johnson.
Yeah, you know, that's what we talked about. I mean, his connections here are very deep and widespread. You know, certainly it stands to reason that Jerrod, who was a hot commodity, which was kind of a surprise, was a little bit of a surprise last year. He was getting coordinator interviews like crazy last year, of course, on the heels of Slowick getting head coaching interviews. He actually got a couple of head coach discussions, questions or whatever. So clearly Jerrod is making a name as a quarterback's coach, as a communicator, and I don't think you can predict anything here.
Sure.
But it stood to reason that he would be at least one that would chat with Aaron Glenn.
Right. And of course, this is just a preliminary three that's kind of hypothesized by a reporter, which I imagine he's, you know, got some sources or at least some inclinations to that end. Albert Breer does. And one of the things that's interesting is Josh McCown's name comes up there. Obviously, we're familiar with that that gentleman. He's been the quarterback coach in Minnesota. And I think he told Adam Schefter that he would only leave that position that he's currently in for a head coaching job, which...
Oh, good for you.
Best of luck in that endeavor. Right. However, if he meant that really and truly, and if he holds up to that, that leaves two guys as the presumptive favorites for that. Again, Nick Caley, the pass game coordinator in L.A., and Gerard Johnson. So, that's interesting.
If it is just those.
If it is those guys. And, you're already in a place where people around this city, hell, myself, are looking at Bobby Slowick. Like, I don't know if he ends up being or should be the coordinator next year. But if he remains, that's an important part of the staff because C.J. Stroud seems to really enjoy having Gerard Johnson there. And, again, we talk about C.J. Stroud. That is the franchise. That is the franchise.
I think it's safe to say C.J. Stroud communicates best. And, of course, this is from the outside looking in. But I think he communicates best and has the best relationship just in terms of forget football with Gerard Johnson. He knew him when he was in high school. Gerard coached him in 11-on-11 at those camps and stuff, and obviously stayed in touch, et cetera. And I think they probably speak with each other more than anybody else on the staff, maybe except for Bobby Slowick. But even at that, how many times have you seen
that? Except for Bobby Slowick is huge, though. Right?
If he
does remain, like making sure that. Because it would be really problematic if that ends up being like the connective tissue with the staff and the quarterback, and then that connective tissue is off to New York.
Yeah, you know? But what I'm saying is Bobby Slowick speaks with with CJ a lot. But how many times have you seen CJ go to the bench between series and he's sitting next to one guy?
Yeah,
and
which of course that's right. To be
stands
expected.
To reason.
Yeah, stands to reason as the quarterback coach.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. That's out there. Somebody on the text line said Gerard is gone. Why would he stay stuck behind Bobby Slowick? I mean, I don't know if that's exactly how you would view it. And of course, the relationships go two ways. It seems like that relationship is pretty strong. It would stand to reason that maybe that could flourish into something further. But yeah, man, in the NFL, this game and really just in employment in the modern era of America. Hey, man, job hopping is necessary for advancement. It's not the same world that we lived in where you clock in a GM in the janitor closet, and then 20 years later, you are retiring with a gold watch or something, right? Like it is a hop around world, and so in order to find advancement, this seems like the type of thing where you would find advancement. So yeah, you could stand to lose the quarterback coach, assuming that you weren't going to lose him anyways. Change in the staff.
That's what I was going to say. Like the texter saying that he's gone. I don't know if that's necessarily, a done deal by any stretch. I think he's probably like the rest of us, if he doesn't know already, kind of waiting to see what they do here. If they do make a change of coordinator, then it is a done deal. However, they may want him here.
I was going to say, do you think that kind of roll into the decision what the Texans do with Bobby Slowick? If they really like Gerard Johnson, do you think they will let him go to keep Gerard?
I don't think they will react that way. But if they are thinking about moving on from Bobby Slowick, Gerard's from here. He knows CJ. He's got a franchise quarterback here where it's just a promise on a draft pick in New York. No, I don't think it's any sort of done deal. Now, if Bobby Slowick is absolutely positively staying, it might make it a little more attractive, but I still don't think it's a done deal.
But I wonder if Bobby is absolutely staying, though. Because
we're all wondering.
That's why I wonder if this put the pressure on them a little more to make a decision, because the worst thing possible is to lose both of them.
Yeah.
You lose both of them.
Yeah, and I think that it's a fair point to bring up. Yesterday we played some audio from Peyton Manning talking about how he hates, the rampant turnover of coordinators with young quarterbacks, right, and having to change, systems and such. And so his optimum situation is if you are in a must-change situation, that you have somebody that maybe has had still been in the room and had some of that connective tissue so that you keep things going, which in this instance, if you were to apply it to the Texans and C.J. Stroud, would probably be someone like Gerard Johnson. Mm-hmm. Some of the issues, and maybe these are just personal issues and ones that are not held elsewhere, but I'll vocalize them anyways to see if they land, right? It feels like with Bobby Slowick there's a level of inexperience that seems to show through in instances. You would not be answering that question. You would not be, you know, speaking to that in mm-hmm. then appointing Jerod Johnson, who is a man who hasn't had those offensive coordinator reps either.
Not necessarily automatically, but I don't think it necessarily disqualifies him by any stretch either.
I mean, I hear you, but I feel like if you are moving away from Bobby Slowick, you have to have somebody who definitely has answers, by the way, who might also bring like a different system, because I think
that's the reason I don't think it's automatic, because like
you don't know that, you know, Jerod Johnson would bring the same.
I'm sure Jerod would, he's a good soldier and does what Bobby Slowick. But once you become the guy, you want to put your own stuff, you want to implement some of your own things. So sure. it's not necessarily a done deal either way.
We'll see how that ultimately shakes out. As again, D'Amico gave us kind of a week, right? And we are halfway through there in trying to see like what this team ultimately looks like going forward, at least from the offensive standpoint. But yeah, if you're just tuning in, Aaron Glenn has a job with the Jets, and Jerod Johnson's name has come up in some early reporting by Albert Breer on who could possibly be offensive coordinator under Aaron Glenn in New York. All right. Let's turn it to the Bear Bryant Awards ceremony, where The Drive will be broadcasting live today. It is Clint. It is show. Fellas, what's it looking like?
Well, hey, a beautiful spot, as always. I ain't going to lie to you. Sometimes I feel a little bad, man, rolling through here and getting that valet with that that Toyota Camry that's been ran through hell in the snow. As I pulled up behind somebody in, a serious Benz. And I'm like, well, hey, fellas, y'all got to take this one. Y'all better treat her with care, baby.
Yeah, man. I feel that. I remember I went to an event that I had to valet maybe about 5-6 months ago. And I had, like, this is the point where, the splash guard under the front of your car, it had been hanging down, and I hadn't gotten around to fixing it. You pull up to that valet with a part of your car hanging off, it really makes you feel different, right? Hopping out the car. You might have a nice suit on, but they know. They see it. They know exactly what's happening.
I think the snow, driving in the snow, helped me a little bit, because it didn't. I don't know.
It leveled the playing field kind of a little
rough.
Bit.
Yeah, everybody's looking kind of rough.
Yeah.
Hey, Reg, I was going to say, man, like, I did some of my best work pulling up in a lesser than vehicle back in the day in Dallas. Now
you also play football, man. Like that's
I'm with you. But I was going to draw the line at pieces hanging off that rig. Now you got to get that. I can't. I was going to say, Reg, you're pretty butch. You walk in there, you ain't got no problems. You just ease on in.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
I can't go that long with this stuff hanging off.
Sometimes you got to get the finances right first, man.
Now, and now, Lopez, you might look up there and be like, dang, that dude's a couple of weeks away from getting that oil changed. it ain't nothing hanging off that piece.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, man. All right, so we've had a day of course, saluting Billy Wagner, going into the Hall of Fame, all sorts of things. But one of the things... earlier, we were talking about our question of the day, because Marlon Humphrey got out here just sports hate. Like, it was just an opinion, and he recognized. He's like, I'm being a hater, but somebody got to beat these Chiefs. And I know, Show, you're not necessarily going to be down with that, but that's fine. It's not necessarily about that specifically. Do you have just an opinion that you know is not even really, like, all that based? In fact, you just being a sports hater, but you still hold the opinion anyways?
Oh.
I said all All-Star games. Hate them.
Every last one of them.
Every professional. Every last one of them.
Oh, so you down for the college All-Star game?
Yeah, I don't even know if there is one. Shrine Bowl?
Yeah, I got hate kind of the way that Marlon Humphrey has. Like I'm out on Aaron Rodgers. I want him to lose every single game. I don't want him to lose, like, at life or nothing. I don't want nobody to be bad like that. But I want him to lose all of his games. I think I'm in that space that Marlon Humphrey is with the Chiefs and much of America, who I believe the Chiefs have become the most hated team since the Miami Heat. For me, it's Aaron. Mm-hmm. I'm good on Aaron.
That's a good one. I think a lot of people are with you.
I don't know if I got one, fellas.
Fair. I expected that. I was like, man, Red is in a good place, man. Yeah, no, man.
He's just happy-go-lucky.
You see him sliding down that hill with a Coors Light, floaty. Come I was on. Like, that's a happy man.
Keeping Texas chill, boys. I think there's a little bit there with the Yankees and the Dodgers, if I'm being honest, like from a sports perspective. Yeah. That those two, and it's not as much like hate. I just... I just don't get the, like, I know there's a lot of history with both of them. I get it, but I, like, it does nothing for me. None of that stuff turns me on. Nothing about the Yankees or the Dodgers turns me on at all.
Right. I respect it. All right. No sports hate here. The fellas take you home on this Wednesday, live from the Bear Bryant Awards. You want to keep it locked right here on KILT-AM, KILT-FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. It is Sports Radio 610. And right now, the drive is live.